Sajib, can you tell us what this current strategy
I think
is?
mostly the email.
The email, yeah.
So finally, I got to work the NFS data store.
Okay, so you're able
Yeah.
to run
So
the VMs?
I already migrated most of them to the NFS data store, the shared data storage, and able to boot it and run anything on that.
Congratulations. That's an accomplishment.
It's a lot of work, actually.
That's good. Now you can get hired by VMware.
So I'm now trying to read how the DRS work, the resource scheduler works. So what I understand from my initial reading of their documents is that you can only apply DRS on the host level, not on the resource pool level.
Okay.
So they are going to migrate based on the admission control, which is the reservation limit thing, and also the CPU resource usage of the host levels, not on the resource pool level.
Oh, okay. So we cannot do the one option that we were planning to, where we restrict the size of the host, right? To or.
But I think I had some another idea I was thinking.
Okay.
So is that there a simpler way to do it? It's just create two huge VMs on both of the hosts and set the reservation really high.
Okay.
So let's say use the 16 gigabytes of reservation just to make it, or whatever amount we want.
Okay, so just to hog the resources.
Just to hog the resources. And in that case, since those VMs will be really large, there is no way that the DRS will migrate those large VMs to another host.
What about the cores? Also CPU, it's the same thing? I mean,
CPU is the same thing.
So you have to bind those or pin the VMs to specific cores.
Pin the VM to cores, or we can do the set the core affinity to the automatic placement. What you can do is just use the CPU, the clock.
That makes a lot of sense. So I think the next thing would be for you to try that and then do the DRS, right, and see what happens.
And DRS has three settings. One is the fully automated, where you don't get to see anything, so it just does its placements on its own. And there is partially automated. So DRS works in two cases. When you power on a VM, it gives you some recommendations, like where to place the VM, which host or which resource pool you can place the VM.
Okay.
And also on the runtime.
Okay.
Based on the admission settings and also on the load of each host, on each host.
Okay, so then the resource pool would be just the leftover part of the host after you create these two or one VM, right?
On each host.
On each host. Okay, so you can map VMs to resource pools and you can map resource pools to hosts.
Yes.
So in that way you can map VMs to hosts.
Resource pool can also span across multiple hosts.
Oh, it can.
It's like an abstraction.
But I guess, can you map VMs directly to hosts? I guess not.
Yes.
So you can. Okay, then do we need, I'll be in the JCCL at 11:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll see you there. So where is the resource pools? I mean, how do they get applied in your? I mean, do you really need to use them at all now?
I don't think we can. We just don't use it at all.
You don't need to use it.
No. If we create two large VMs, I'll check for sure this whether DRS still can be applied resource pool. I'm mostly checking at the documents. They said that it uses par host level information.
Okay.
But it might be that only for the admission settings it can use the resource pool configuration.
Okay.
Admission setting is reservation and limit thing.
Oh.
Like it checks whether the reservation bound is maintained for each host, for each resource pool as well.
Okay. Do you need to create resource pools at all, or can you get away without creating any resource pools?
No, I don't think we just. I mean, we can use like back calculation to just maintain in my program how much the resource pool is.
Yeah.
So not use the create the resource pool on the VMware infrastructure, but create the resource pool on my program.
Okay. All right. That's good.
So the simple program what you can try with the DRS is just in a single host. Let's say right now I have two hosts running using NFS data store. So what I can do in a single host, I create a lot of VMs and artificially change the reservation limit, because if reservation gets violated, that's what we want. If reservation is valid, so the DRS can automatically pull it from one host and place it on a host which has separate capacity.
Right.
So this is a simple experiment what you can try.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Kaushik, do you have any comments on what's the
No, I don't have I don't have anything. I think it's too early to say anything.
Right. Okay. All right. So.
And I also checked whether the 9FS ESX stop works with those latency data. It works.
Oh, okay.
So.
So what kind of do the latencies look different now or?
I have to try with running an experiment.
Oh, okay.
Like running that FIU workload.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning to do that, like trying to see that whether the performance is different or not.
FIU is what you're using for the contending IO?
Contending IO.
Okay.
So I can run any simple workload to check this, so whether the latency information is different or has improved or not. Because that's what
you
want.
You can run the contending workloads in those big VMs that you will pin, right? I guess you can do that. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
It should be better, the latency, than the previous cases.
You mean worse? Because in the previous case we had a local disk, right? Now we have a disk over the network.
Worse?
Well, the latencies, I think each latency would require a network hop, but then you may be right in the sense that it's a multi-disk system
that
we are using, right? But if we are using multiple hosts, then we are also loading the same network storage more, right? So it depends on how many VMs are running in parallel on how many hosts.
Okay.
So right now our configuration is at least two hosts, right? Or
two hosts, and shared data store.
The question is, do we need a third host or not?
In future, yes, but not to try our initial experiments.
Okay.
I had to upgrade the ESX.
On the blade? On the cluster?
On the each host I'm using.
Okay.
Because apparently the DRS doesn't work with those old.
With the previous version?
With the previous versions.
Oh, okay.
But the good thing is that I can just upgrade it, like, so it didn't destroy any of the previous data.
Okay, and how did you go about the upgrade? I mean, it was
just go
remotely from the console.
I can, but since I have the VI server running on the same on the VM which is running on the same host I'm upgrading, so I couldn't. So I had to go through physically go to the room and do it there.
Okay,
but you can do it remotely.
Okay.
Then you have to run your vCenter server from a different machine.
Where did you get the upgrade license from?
From our website.
From our website.
From a university website.
Okay. All right, that's good. So I guess the next steps are to try this basic experiment with migration and then do the contending, set up the contending VMs. And then at that point, I guess you should be, after that you should be able to run some of the actual workloads that we want to use.
Yeah.
Right? I guess the first thing would be to check if our models still work.
Yes.
In this
new hardware. At least for one workload.
Yeah.
Just trying.
Yeah. Because remember that we might probably run into some issues because of
changing your hypervisor.
Well, I don't think that would make such a big difference. But even the hardware is changing. For instance, the caches are changing.
Okay.
Like that might have a bigger impact on our models. So,
why is the cache changing?
It's a different hardware, right? The hardware caches are different because now you're running on a different machine altogether. You created your models on a different machine which had,
different machine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You created the models on the cluster machine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only the data store has changed.
I see.
But then we are using latency, it shouldn't impact.
Okay. You already switched to the cluster nodes for the previous paper?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I forgot that. And for the one before that, you were using your own.
Yeah, that's part of your own machine.
Okay. Then we'll probably be okay. And how did we map the VMs to cores? For the previous work, we just mapped.
No, we didn't map. We just restrict to use like the first four cores.
First four cores.
Yeah, but we didn't basically pin it.
Okay. So would we do the same thing now? I mean, have each VM use four cores, four dedicated cores?
Yeah. I mean, we don't have much mesh. Maximum I will try with 10 virtual machines in the beginning, so we don't have.
How many cores do we have per host?
12 cores.
Oh, that doesn't work then, because how do we map the VMs to cores now? If we want to run many VMs, right? I think that's one of the goals here, to run several VMs.
Well, initially I'm trying with only 10 or...
I know you're trying with 10, but I'm just trying to think how you can reuse the models, because previously the models were built for each VM running on 4 cores.
Either
it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. It can use it, it can select its own core.
Because we are restricting the amount of gigahertz or megahertz.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. I think it would be good to do some basic sanity checking with a different configuration where you don't specify the limit of 4 cores, right?
Okay.
Because now we no longer, I guess we could still, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could. But except that we may have contention.
Yes.
Now we have contention.
Because before only 2 VMs were running on the host. So there was no core contention. There was no core contention.
Core contention may change things, because now the cache
yes.
on the core gets contended.
So if we run more than the number of
cores,
more than the number of cores, the VM number of VMs gets higher than the number of cores, then we can end up in having the core contention issues.
Mm. And also, I think there are some additional resources that are shared even outside the core. For instance, an L3 cache may be shared. So certainly, looking to the spec of this. Cluster node that we have, and if you cannot find it from the machine by just looking at the proc information, send me an email and I can forward you which the model, and then you can look up online.
I think the model number is displayed on the.
Is displayed when you went to the.
The vCenter already recognizes those things.
Okay, so the based on the model number, you should be able to find what.
But the only now the. Yeah, the network issue is something to think about on high I/O content.
Yeah.
And with using the same switch, it may be a high latency that we might end up experiencing.
Oh. But then our models are independent of that, right?
Yeah, the models are only the performance won't improve.
Yeah. And in this case, I'm not even sure if we need to run these contending VMs anymore.
No.
Would be only to do the sanity check.
Yeah.
For the model accuracy.
And I will keep it just alive to hog the CPU and memory, but not for the I/O.
Hmm.
It won't issue any I/O. Because we will anyway will run multiple VMs, so the contention should come from the other VMs running.
Hmm.
Just to test if the models are okay still.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's good. So there's a lot of work to be done. We meet on Tuesday?
Yeah.
So send us an email as a reminder.
On Monday, yeah.
On Monday. Kaushik, do you have any final comments?
No, are you, so are you still targeting for the May deadline, Sajid? It seems tight, right?
It's hard, but I'll try.
Well, it seems like you're going strong, right? I mean, you already said
yeah, you're going strong.
Think
I think there's something over the deadline.
You get to a bottleneck and which gets more time to solve than what you think initially.
Yeah,
that's sort of the unexpected, right? And for now, I think we should, it seems like we're going strong and we should continue to do that. Right?
I would rather think that I would work as much as I can.
Yeah.
And if you still make it, that's great. I mean, I don't want to pressure us at the deadline.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Fine. Thank you. All right, Sanjeev.
Okay, thanks.
Talk to you on Tuesday, Kaushik.
Yeah.
I'll send you a reminder every week.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, see you later.
I'll be there at 3:30. You have the...